This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Hello, everyone.
Hi, friends.
We are so happy to be here with you today, and we've got a show, a more serious show. Today, as we talk about a question that was posed to us to actually talk about. And before I read the question and before we jump into the scripture and the whole discussion, I just want to remind everybody that if you have any questions or topics that you'd like us to discuss, just to hear our opinions, which we're honored to be able to share, email address is in the description. Please just, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be something as simple as, how do you pick out what you're going to wear for the day? I don't know. It can be a fun question. It could be a serious question, as today. So this is going to be an interesting topic. So I'm going to read the question that was emailed to us, and it says, I'd love to hear how you decide when to speak truth and when you decide that silence and walking away is healthier. And the scripture that I would like to bring into this whole discussion as well, and we don't have to talk about the scripture right off, but I just want to put it out there, is Matthew 18. Everybody talks about Matthew 18, right? The whole Matthew 18 principle. You have a problem with somebody, Matthew 18. So what does it say? So I am reading Matthew 18, verse 15 through 17 or 20. You want me to go all the way to 20?
I think so. Yep. And I just want to say how important this verse is. It is in red. So that means Jesus said it. You can read however far you would like, Jen.
Because the other stuff talks about binding and loosing, and we
reading, I'm in the Passion Translation, so I don't know what you're saying.
But
read whatever translation you would like.
So I'm reading from the New King James Version. I read from all kinds of versions. This just happened to be the version I had up last. So I'm just going to read from it. It says, dealing with a sinful brother is the text at the top. It says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. So you're going to them alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Meaning you have two other people that's going to hear what's being said. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. So that's when you're like, okay, we're going to take it to another level. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. So those were the main parts of the scripture that I had through verse 17. And I can read the rest of it. And if we wanted to talk about this part, we could as well. It says, assuredly, I say to you, whoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Okay, I said, whoever you bind. I'm sorry, whatever you bind. Sorry, not a person.
A little better.
Yeah, a little better. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them. So I think for the reference, I think stop at 17. The other stuff is talking about binding and loosing. So,
So I think that's pretty instructional, but I think the only problem with this, and as we're dealing with the world, is this really is about how we approach our fellow believers, right? So someone who's not a believer, this might not necessarily what might not work for that situation, especially the part where, you know, you take it to the church. So that might not be effective for a non-believer. So, and I think it makes sense. I think, when we are offended against back in the day as a pleaser, I would just allow it and I would not say anything about it. And, I would just hurt inside. And so my heart would just begin to fill with like hate and bitterness and unforgiveness. And it was just not a really healthy posture for me to be in. And so a lot of times when someone sins against you, they might not even know that they've hurt your feelings.
Right.
So having a one-on-one conversation, I think, is always the wise and smart thing to do. Like, hey, I just wanted to talk about this. Something really hurt my feelings that you did to me the other day, or maybe you're not even aware, but this is how I'm feeling. And then allow them to either explain themselves, apologize, whatever that looks like, or like in the word says, hear and your relationship will be restored. So most of the time for me, it has stopped there. I can only really remember a couple of times getting anyone else involved in the situation. Actually, maybe only one time that there's other situations in my life I could have followed through and grabbed other people into it and probably should have, because I still have some feelings I know and hurt that I need to work out. But there was definitely one other situation that a couple of us approached someone. And still, after that point, I never have gone to take it to the church, the final step, because after that point, it was still not heard and still not understood. And at that point, we decided to let it go. But I feel okay. I don't feel bitterness or unforgiveness about that situation. So I think one of the texts might even say, like, does it say consider them Gentiles? I don't know what it was, but it's just like, okay, well. It
says, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. So, yeah. So in other versions, it says, in the Amplified, it said, let him be to you as a Gentile.
Yeah, that's in the English Standard Version too. Yep.
Yeah. ESV. And then in the NIV, it says as a pagan or a tax collector. Yeah. So, or in the NLT, it says a person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. So,
wow. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, and so, sometimes you just have to just, after you have talked to the situation to death, if you will, and have done the things biblically are sound, you kind of just have to let it go sometimes. And that's what the first question was. When do you know when to let it go? Oh, and I think that would be when to let it go, especially with if it's a non-believer. Now, you should probably do all the steps if they're believers. That's biblically sound thing to do, especially if it's an issue within the church. It would be very appropriate to take it to the church, right? So, but when you're dealing with a non-believer in just daily life, whether it be at work or whatever, talking to the person one-on-one in a, private location, not out in front of everyone where you're yelling or calling someone out. I think that is probably one of the most important things, is when you are okay to talk without all the emotions, the anger, all those things. Sometimes that takes a little time. And able to just maturely have a conversation, that's when it's time to have the conversation. Because I know for me, there was a situation that it took me probably about 6 months to be able to have the conversation I needed to have.
Yep.
Because I was not okay and I was not rational and I couldn't have a rational conversation. And that was a me issue. not a them issue because we weren't going to get anywhere with a non-rational conversation.
Yeah. Well,
and so have you had experiences like that with being a feeling gal?
Oh, sure. And even for the sake of this conversation, there's a couple of, well, I got a couple of things I want to bring into it, but then also a couple of observations. So when you're dealing with Matthew 18, there are other verses, I think, that need to be in tandem with that. And there's a thing called Peace Pursuit, which is an organization that their whole purpose is to help offenses between brothers. And one of the things that they talk about before you even get to this step of Matthew 18 is for you to take it before the Father. Like,
yes.
Why am I being offended here? What is this pushing on? Why did that, whatever it is, hurt my feelings? Start there first. Always go before God with it before you even get to the Matthew 18 part, because you may get to a spot where you go, wow, that, you know what? They really didn't mean to say something that hurt my feelings. This is pushing on a bruise. Therefore, I need to process this. Now, that's just one step. Now, you may get through that and have taken it before God and done like you did, took the 6 months to really like figure it out and get to the part where you could logically talk about what the offense was. And then you take it to your brother. But one of the things that I look at with this is, you know, I have someone who says to me, and we've had discussions about this, that when people have brought offenses to her, she's like, well, I just tell them I'm sorry, but I don't, like, zero compassion, zero empathy. It's like, I didn't mean to offend them, so I'm not going to receive that they've, you know, been hurt by me.
And
I was like, oh, well, if you look at Matthew 18, it doesn't say anything about the person being talked to as much as them reconciling. And I think for someone who has been the offender, it is important to just look at and be secure in knowing I didn't mean to offend, but also this is all about empathy for the other party. Like, you know, like I think you have to err on the side of love. And if loving your brother is saying, you know what, I didn't mean to hurt that person, but apparently I have, so I'm just gonna say I'm sorry and ask for forgiveness. And if they want the explanation as to why you said what you said, or, you know, that conversation, there's openings for that. Sure. But I think you just have to start with that first. And so, so I just have to say that about the person who is the offender. It doesn't really get into a whole lot of what they have to do other than to reconcile. So, and I think it's important, the posture of your heart, if you are the offender, but as the offended one, I think it's super important to be able to say to someone in an honest, authentic way, once you've really examined yourself, you know, that thing hurt me, it wounded me, and that was an offense. And and reconcile. There's even another scripture. It says, if your brother has something against you and you come to present your gift at the altar, leave your gift, go be reconciled to your brother. Like, don't walk in those offenses. But I love your observation of this is very much about the church and how we deal with each other. And out in the world, you can't really take them before the church, right? They have no respect.
The rules are different.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's where you have to be careful, if it, especially non-believer, you know, it could be an addict. It could be a million other things that this person is. So your boundaries have to apply. And I know you're a big boundary girl. And what's, you read a book about boundaries, and I forget, is it Cloud, Henry Cloud?
Henry Cloud Boundaries is great, but I actually just found another one. And maybe I talked to you guys about it. I just listened to it and it was phenomenal. Good Boundaries and Goodbyes by Lisa Turkhurst.
Oh yeah. She's good.
And so, yeah, that was amazing. As far as Henry Cloud and John Townsend are incredible, as far as it comes to boundaries, they are, you know, like deleting psychologist, if you will, when it comes to this. But this was really nice to listen to as a woman's perspective. You know, really like digging down a little deeper as far as the feelings and all of those things. So I really liked Lisa Turkhurst's perspective. And I'm a story girl, and there was a lot of story in her life filled into those areas too. So you really could begin to see your situations a little bit differently. So 100% recommend both of those books. Boundaries, even Henry Cloud and John Townsend has a workbook you can do with that as well. But yes, boundaries are 100% what is needed here to protect. If you're a feeler, you get offended easily, what have you, we need to protect and put up little fence posts, yep, around our heart, and not allow these things to penetrate, because this doesn't affect the other person walking around. You are left with the hurt and the bitterness, and then you're wounded, and all of a sudden again you are living your life through your wound and bruises,
right?
And we have to deal with those things. They might have done it, but and one of the ways that I've dealt with them is boundaries and knowing how far to let people in, because as you'll know, I've wrote a memoir and I give it all to you. So I'm very vulnerable, but that's not always safe to do with everyone. So really setting boundaries and not giving everything to everyone at the beginning, which is what I used to do. So I think like the original question says, when to know, when to let it go. I think if you've talked to that person and you have made your feelings clear and there's no sign of reconciliation, if there is another party involved that can be partial, that you can go to that person with, that can, you know, love on both sides, if you will, and be open to seeing everyone's perspective, not just pulling up on someone, I think you should totally do that. But at some point, if you keep on getting wounded, you have to keep yourself safe.
Yeah.
And you have to let the situation go. And that doesn't mean forever, but it means until you are able to build the appropriate boundaries to keep yourself safe, because it really is a personal health decision. If you want to be healthy and you want to be well, then you have to build your boundaries to keep yourself safe so you can function for yourself, for your family, for your job, what have you.
Yep.
So, you know, if something is constantly dragging you down and you're constantly in a vicious cycle of hurt and offense, then it's time to let it go.
Yep.
And so you are secure and safe to be able to walk either into that situation again, or maybe not.
Yep. Yep. Well, and I do want to say one thing, and this has been as a feeler that has offended me so many times, and I've even used it in regards to publishing, but, you know, I've had people say, well, you need to develop a thick skin when it comes to people. And it's like, no, I don't have to develop a thick skin. What I have to develop is emotional intelligence, and I have to be able to logically figure out why I'm being offended, not to feel. My goodness, I love my sensitivity. I love that. I think that's a spiritual gift for me, you know, like aside from my emotions, that, you know, I think it feeds into my spiritual giftings.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to be thick skinned. What I do want to be is emotionally intelligent and understand when these offenses come and these things happen, to be able to slow down and examine that first, right? So if you're someone who's telling someone who's emotionally sensitive to develop a thick skin, that's not what they need to do. They need to be able to look at their emotions and figure that out. But
absolutely. Yeah. And you're stuck. I just want to commend Jen, because Jen is really good at this. Jen and I have a really cool relationship, because we have had some times where we have had to have hard conversations, and I have hurted her feelings or vice versa. And she's came to me and she's talked to me about it. And we both love and respect each other so much. We've worked through it very quickly. Yep. and really hurt each other. Yep. Which is great. But Jen and I know that we are safe to be able to do that. And that is part of, you know, a mature friendship and relationship. So, and Jen has even came to me in her feelings before. Yeah. With her, but she also, again, she might not have done that with anyone else. She knows she's safe to do that with me. And I will love her anyway. So sometimes, you know, like we talked about at the beginning, sometimes we have to wait until we are past that part, like Jen said. But, you know, Jen knows she can come to me just as she is, as long as she's not calling me names and whatever else, which she's never going to do. But, you know, like she's just expressing her feelings. And I know that's who she is. And she has feelings, and that's okay, you know. But maybe not everyone else would know and care for Jen in that way, or any feeler, you know. So she's emotionally intelligent to know those ways, like she spoke about.
Yeah. And I think you have to keep respect in mind, too. Like, even talking about Matthew 18, you know, if you're going to someone and you're in the church and you're being hostile, and your first your first action or reaction is, I'm going to strike out at you first to hurt you as bad as you've hurt me. Yeah, that's not really good. That's no. Yeah, you can't do that. You have to be able to respect the other party. I think even in the world, you know, you have to be able to say, this is a person who is intimately loved by God.
Amen. Yep.
Jesus died for them the same as me, and start from me. And then, but having those honest conversations. But even with, like you pointed out, in talking about boundaries, and as far as folks in the world, you can't necessarily do Matthew 18. So you have to be able to protect yourself emotionally from someone who is harmful to you.
Right.
If you have a connection with someone and they are emotionally hurting you all the time, and you've attempted to have conversations, and you've attempted to do whatever, it is perfectly legit to protect yourself emotionally and find a place of safety, and maybe disconnect from that relationship, whatever that is, until, you know, there's a time where, you know, honest conversation will have progress. But if you're talking, if you're having conversation with someone over and over and over again in the world, that is, and it's about stuff that they're doing that's wrong, then at some point, I think it's perfectly acceptable to say, I've got to disconnect from this and step.
You got to break the cycle, right? You have to break the cycle.
Yeah.
And self-care is important there. You know, like you have to, if you're, emotional health is not well and it's bleeding out onto others, you know, that's a good indicator. Red lights should be going off. I have to do something to change the situation. And I always don't recognize it because you get, you know, caught up in your daily life. But I'm like, you know, sometimes I might snap at my children, like, and like get easy to anger or whatever, or respond in not a graceful way. And it had nothing to do with my kids why I did that. It was because of a wounding that had occurred that day or a hurt something. Nothing to do with that precious baby. So here I am, you know, sinning against my baby in anger. Not, these are not babies anymore. I gotta stop it. They are like growing up so fast. But, you know, these are good red light indicators. A boundary needs to be set. I'm not well. I either need to, if I haven't dealt with this before, I need to go deal with this and take it to the Lord and see what, first of all, like Jen said, because this is the most important thing, take it to God. God, why is this hurting me? Because typically it's hurting you because it said something about you that you already believe. And so that just kicked a darn bruise, and that bruise needs healing. And it probably had nothing to do with the other person. But if it did, and it's still there, which mine was, there was some things that the 6 month period that it was still not okay how the person treated me in that situation. So 6 months went past, and I was able to go have a conversation with a person who the Lord loved and have compassion and be able to listen to their perspective in that situation. But that took a long time to get there because I was so wounded. It gets easier, and that is not, you know, normally how these circumstances work out now. You know, usually sometimes if it's safe enough, you can send a short text like, oh, what did you mean by that earlier, or whatever else, right? You know, it doesn't have to be that hard, but this was a bigger wounding that I needed to deal with with the Lord first, for sure. So
yeah, it's funny, we're talking about this, and I did that exact same thing with my husband yesterday. So I kind of had a tough day at work, so I was stressed, and he bought me a little table for our front porch so I can have quiet time on my front porch. Love my front porch. Yeah.
Oh.
So we had to put it together. And in my house, I typically am the one who puts stuff together. Mm-hmm. I mean, he does too. I mean, we do it together, but I'm just quicker. I don't know. I have kind of that weird brain that likes puzzles.
Swiss whatever. Army knife brain.
Yeah, Swiss Army knife. There you go. So we were putting together a table yesterday, and he wasn't getting what I was trying to have him do with putting some screws in. And I snapped at him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got a little irritated at him, and he could have been very like upset at me, but he didn't say anything. And then I caught myself and I said, you know what? I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to snap at you. I just had a really tough day, and it's bleeding into this moment.
Yeah. Yep.
He said, yeah, I kind of figured that's what that was. Now I love the fact that he was already there before I got there.
Yeah.
He'd overlooked that offense, but then I felt like a turd because I was like, you know, I didn't mean to be mean to him, and I didn't even really realize I was doing it, but it's like I needed an emotional release. And so what that told me was I needed to process my day. So we got the little table put together. It was, you know, it's on my porch, and got to sit on my porch with it. It's a cute little table. He's such a sweet man. He bought that for me. But it's that whole thing of recognizing, being emotionally intelligent, at least in that moment. I wasn't immediately, like,
right.
I said. it took me a few seconds to go, he's trying to help here, and I'm just being silly, and I need to apologize. And I did. And Lord,
how many times I've apologized to my kids, especially, you know, especially when I was stay-at-home mom and about to be this summer again. But you know, that is a really good red light. If you are bleeding out to others and you don't know why, there's something you need to process with the Lord. There's some hurt there. There's some unforgiveness. And if you sit for long enough and really spend time with the Lord, you'll know what it is. You know exactly where the hurt, you'll know exactly where the hurt came from. Right. And so then, you know, if after you process and it was not okay, because there's things people do that are not okay. You know, like, no, that wasn't okay that girl said that nasty word about me, or whatever that is, or hit me, or whatever. Then it's time to have a conversation, you know. It's time to have a conversation. So, but really don't skip on the first part. And I wish Matthew 18 would say that, because even I've done this, you know, with healthcare now for me, my kids, and my husband. Before, I'm so quick to take a pill or go to the doctor. A lot of times I'm going to the Lord first. Now, not an emergency situation. I will pray on the way to the hospital, believe that, right. You know, but if it's just, you know, a sniffle or a headache or what have you, why not ask the Lord first? Hey, God, you're the great physician. Will you take this away? So everything, I think, should always be taken to the Lord first.
Right, right. And be brave enough to ask yourself hard questions about why you are feeling the way you're feeling, instead of automatically assuming it's the other party. I mean, it could be the other party. I'm going to make allowance for that. But just starting with you as to, is this hitting anything in me that I need to process first? And like I said, if you out there want a really excellent study on offense, at least in how it's processed in the church, it's called Peace Pursuit. And there's a whole organization they have done curriculum on this. I got to go through this whole thing at work. It was very awesome, but I'm pretty sure it's peacepursuit.org.
Okay.
There's just some really great information about, you know, starting with yourself, going to the Lord, really looking at that offense, processing what was said, and then, you know, applying the Matthew 18 principle. And always starting in love, right? Just you've got to have love for your brother, because God loves him. And the Bible says, how can you say you love God and hate your brother, right?
Right.
The love of God isn't in you if you hate your brother. So start with your love. So.
Yeah. And I think that's a good word, because if you find yourself hating your brother, hating your sister, you know, really that relationship, you look at that person and just looking at that person, talking from experience here, folks, but looking at that person brings some nasty feelings out of you. You gotta get away from the situation. If you've already done the things, you have to break the cycle. This is in relationships. This is, you know, whatever. You have to break the cycle, and you have to. I know a lot of women who have trouble with boundaries because they look at Jesus, and they know that the ultimate goal is we want to be more like Jesus, in which I totally agree. But you cannot be more like Jesus if you're constantly getting wounded and hurt, because you're operating then out of wounding and hurt. So you have to protect yourself until you are emotionally well. And then if you go back into that relationship, you decide that's where you need to be. Then if the offense happens again, you stop immediately. You stop. You stop the relationship and you just pray for the person. That's how you can help that relationship. You pray for that person and love them. And if you are not loving your neighbors as yourself, like the Lord commanded it, then, and you're not able to do that being in relationship with them, then you love them from a distance and you love them well by praying for them.
Right. You put up your boundary and you still pray for them. There's another really great book called the 2-Minute Blessing, I think it is. And it's talking about when you're offended and how you apply the verse where it says, you know, pray for those who spitefully use you, bless your enemies. And it talks about how you can bless your enemies. And I'm not saying a person you have an offense with is an enemy, but it just talks about how if you're not connected with someone because of whatever it is, pray blessings over them. Bless them. Bless them. And you will be amazed at how much love that builds in you for that other person. Yeah. Doesn't mean you have to be in relationship with them.
Amen. No.
You still gotta have your boundaries. You still have to protect yourself. Especially in these worldly connections. But pray blessings over them, because that's what God says to do. Bless enemies.
Yeah.
Sorry. I get very passionate about that, because that was such a huge lesson for me. I had someone who I felt like early on when I was married made my life very, very, very hard. And I had a very hard time getting myself out of that cycle of pain. And praying blessings over them has just been an amazing thing. So anyway.
That's so good. That's so good. And so admirable, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So
this was good. Thanks for the question. This was great.
That was an awesome discussion. Yeah, we want more of those. Throw us some hard questions. And, you know, we may not have the answer, but we'll certainly tell you what our opinions are, or that we don't have the answer, but still, we love the questions. These are good.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right, folks. Until next time, we will see you.
Bye, friends.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Podcast copyright 2022, Parable Road, LLC.